News, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Vance Bolter, the man wanted in connection with the shooting deaths of a Minnesota state lawmaker and her husband, has been captured about 60 miles away. The state patrol's Jeremy Geiger.
The suspect crawled to law enforcement teams and was placed under arrest at that point in time. There was no use of force by any member of law enforcement that was out there, and the suspect was taken into custody without any use of force.
Iran's launched a new wave of missile attacks on Israel. CBS's Naomi Ruckham.
One hit a residential building in Tel Aviv. Another struck an apartment building nearby, killing at least four.
Tehran reports almost 100 civilian deaths. President Trump's in Alberta, Canada to meet with world leaders after speaking with Vladimir Putin over the weekend. CBS's Willie James Inman.
The president stressed about ending the war between Russia and Ukraine. That will likely be a large focus between the G7 leaders.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Gas prices fell 2.8 cents over the last week for an average of $2.92 today. This is 8.2 cents lower than a month ago and over 33 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. Officials at Gas Buddy say drivers should expect prices to increase. Israel and Iran are trading attacks, which has caused oil prices to surge to multi-month highs. Prices in central Wisconsin today range from $2.79 to $2.89 per gallon. School district leaders across Wisconsin are trying to figure out what to do after the Trump administration cut $16 million meant for healthier school meals. Savannah Tomei Olson reports.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture announced more than $1 billion in funding last year for two programs that help schools, child care centers, and food banks buy locally sourced food. Caitlin Taurinen heads the School Nutrition Association of Wisconsin. She says schools have roughly $2 per kid to spend on school lunches, and that federal money helped bridge the gap in their slim budgets and partner with local producers.
It's hard for us to do that with the budget that we have. And not only is it hurting the students and the schools that are consuming this food, but it's really making a huge impact on our farmers.
Stacy Nelson is the director of food nutrition services for the Menominee School District. She says that federal money helped them move away from big box foods and give kids more nutritious options from local farmers.
Continuing to pull programs that are meant as a support to those kids isn't going to make America healthy again, which is what we keep saying we're trying to do.
Senator Tammy Baldwin has demanded the USDA restore that funding. Leaders in the Trump administration say cutting it is curbing government waste. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers conquer the Cards. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers have today off after beating the Cardinals 3-2 before a Father's Day crowd of over 40,000 fans. Top of the ninth, Nolan Arenado representing the tying run after getting on base following a dramatic 12-pitch at-bat against the Brewers closer, Trevor Megill. Pat Murphy's reaction after the game, a sigh of relief.
Whew. I guess if anyone's considering whether or not Arenado's a Hall of Famer, that at-bat in the ninth, that's special. That was a tremendous at-bat. But then for Megill and Contreras to weave through that thing like they did, that's super special.
So the Brewers winning 3 out of 4 against St. Louis. They'll face the Cubs in Chicago tomorrow night. Boys High School lacrosse. The Wanakee Warriors held on to win 9-8 over Wales Kettle Moraine to win their first ever WIAA state championship. That match held over the weekend at Bank of Sun Prairie Stadium. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms, especially later this afternoon. Our high today in the low 80s. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely. Could be some locally heavy rain. Our low in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, chance of thunderstorms with a high upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by Matt Rothschild. We go deep on book banning in Florida. Did you read Judy Blume? Did you like it? Well, Florida kids won't be able to read it anymore. We discuss.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, this is a special live edition of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Pat's not live from Lake Wissota like he normally is. Instead, he's live somewhere stranded in Canada. Joining us now is the founding editor of Up North News, it's Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, that was pretty good.
Well, thank you.
Have you ever thought of going into radio?
I've considered it once or twice.
You have. Okay. Well, I think this could work out for you. I think it's something you ought to consider.
All right. That's good to know. That's very promising for what I've got coming up here. So.
See, you're not just here to push buttons. You are a true partner and broadcaster. Remember that when the signal gives out from Canada, okay?
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Okay. Let me give the somewhat formal welcome, shall I? Something that goes like this. Oh, Canada. Your airlines are not much better than ours when it comes to stranding passengers trying to get home. So, hey there, Wisconsin, good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, 6:07 now, June 16th, 2025. And when I say it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, I'm not talking Lake Wissota. I'm talking much farther up north, up on the prairies of Saskatchewan. We are 100 miles north of the Canadian border with North Dakota and Montana, not too far from Regina, and we welcome you to another Monday from wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media or Up North News Facebook or YouTube pages, the Civic Media app, or by podcast. We appreciate you starting your week right here. Now, sadly, there is serious news from the weekend to cover, so we won't have much more to say about why I'm stuck in Canada. It's not about troubles at the border, which we've joked about for several days here. I haven't tried to cross the border yet, so that trouble might still be coming up. Rather, our flight home yesterday was canceled at the last minute due to mechanical trouble. Now, I'd rather be stuck on the ground than up in the air with a broken airplane, but we've also learned the hard way that being in a small market, this particular Canadian airline doesn't have a bunch of spare planes lying around. So, lacking any other combination of flights that would have gotten us home yesterday, and believe me, I tried, we had to sheepishly call the friends we were visiting for just a quick weekend visit and ask them to come back and get us and take us in for one more day and basically take over their Father's Day. And so, again, a belated happy Father's Day to everybody else out there. So I'm reporting from their guest room here in the basement. The scene that you see behind me, if you're watching on social media, is their backyard of the prairies of Saskatchewan. I'd actually hoped to cover things from there. They have a lovely three-season porch, and it would have been great to show you that scene right there live, but it was just far enough away from their router that, you know, we may not have necessarily had a reliable signal. And then poor Parker here would have been carrying 3 hours on his back. And while it's a strong, youthful back, it's not one where he was not seeking out a 3-hour show today.
It's not that strong of a back, Pat.
Well, it gets the job done for our purposes here. And how was your weekend?
It was pretty good. Managed to avoid the rain. So it was a very dry weekend of Mallards games. Was very happy with that.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. Tony on YouTube. Really testing that up north thing, huh? Yep. We sure are. Aren't you Todd Alba? Why aren't you in your office? And also, is this the first international show on Civic Media? I never thought of us making history here. Hmm. Maybe we've done something.
International and, man, Pat Kreitlow?
Yes, there you go. I am. Doesn't Jane and Greg have a guest called Mr. Global?
They do.
Let's see. And then they've got, what's his name? Pitbull loves to call himself Mr. Worldwide.
Yep.
So, I don't know. We'll come up with something else.
Is Austin Powers the international man of mystery?
He's an international man of mystery. Yeah. So, we'll need another way to describe the global reach that is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network. Alicia saying, I'm glad you're safe on the ground as well. Thank you, Alicia, very much. Tony says, Mr. Global is just in Oklahoma, though. Ah, okay. We could just steal that title. I mean, what's he going to do? Cross the border to come get me?
It's a risky business crossing the border. I don't know.
I know. Well, I've certainly done the show from out west before, visiting a daughter in Idaho. So I'm familiar with doing the show on the road. I've done it from Kalamazoo, Michigan, where another daughter resides. I've done the show from other cities. But yeah, never another country. And I did worry that it wouldn't work for this reason. In Canada, you can't get news sites on Facebook, and you can't share news articles. And I learned that the hard way, but that's one way that they combat the spread of misinformation is, you know, there are so many sites out there that, you know, claim to be one thing, but then they turn out to be something else. We certainly saw that with all the misinformation running around this weekend after events in Minnesota. But it was very odd. I was going to share an article, and then up comes this little window saying, you know, Canada does not allow you to share news content on Facebook. And I wasn't sure how I felt about that. I'm like, well, wait, I trust myself to share something. But having seen all the other garbage that gets shared out there in Facebook world, maybe this isn't the worst thing in the world. So you couldn't share the news stories. I thought, boy, are we going to be able to get a live stream across the border? But we can because, you know, again, this isn't posting something on Facebook. This is just like a phone call between me and Parker.
They don't know that you're doing news.
Yeah.
I think we're just talking.
There's times I don't know if I'm doing news. Alicia says, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow throughout North America.
Yeah.
That
works.
I'm saying we could have some real reach here. So that's the reason we are where we are here. And in fact, because the flight that I'm taking is, you know, exactly 24 hours after the last one, unlike, you know, where a Sunday morning I left for the airport, you know, at 8:30. I got to leave for the airport at 8:30 here as well. So fortunately, young Mr. Olson is there in studio. You might even be joined by others, like maybe Luke Mathers or somebody. But regardless, you're going to have author Laura Bird right there in studio with you at 8:30 today.
That is true. I'm very excited about that. I was also found out, I don't remember who it is. Is it Jeff is coming in, I believe, the studio.
Oh, Jeff Mandel from Law Forward.
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, look at this. I mean, we got more guests in studio than ever before, even as the host gets farther away from the studio than ever before. I feel like I'm in one of those photos, you know, where they're like, Pat, stand back a little more, cross the border.
Keep going.
Okay, you're
keep
good.
Going.
You're good.
All right, everybody else come in the room. All right, we're good.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, let's talk a bit about what else is coming up on the show. So we've mentioned Jeff Mandel from Law Forward, and author Laura Bird is going to be here as well. Of course, it's Monday, so we hope to have Dr. Kristen Lyerly in coming up at 6:30. However, she is working this weekend. She is on call, and at least once or twice, we haven't been able to see her because, you know, those babies are naughty. And they just show up when they want to show up. So hopefully we'll get to talk to Kristen at 6:30. Selena Heller will be along in time for today's history lesson. And then sometime after 7 o'clock, she'll share some of the clips that she took of a woman who helped organize the No Kings protests that were held all over the country, including in the Chippewa Valley. That's a little after 7. And of course, it's 7:30. Jeff Mandel from Law Forward talking about the lawsuit they filed against Elon Musk. What they want is for a court to look at his attempts at what I refer to as billionaire bribery and say that, you know, there have to be better standards. Now, there was a court attempt at the time to say that, you know, Elon Musk can't be paying voters $1 million here, $1 million there, offering an endless series of $100 payments to sign a petition, which is totally unrelated to the state Supreme Court race that was going on at the time. Anyway, in the rush of things at the time, a court declined to stop Elon Musk from doing that. Now that things have passed, more evidence has been collected, LawForward is going to be making the case that what Elon Musk did and what other billionaires might want to do is tantamount to voter bribery and needs to be struck down. So Jeff Mandel will be our guest about that. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we'll talk to our friends John Peterson and Gordy Young, John and Gordy, from our Civic Media station in Madison. Then at 8:30, author Laura Bird will be here, and we'll wrap things up with Jane Mattenair telling us what's on her program. Coming up, Mattenair on Air along with Greg Bach. Right at 9 o'clock after we are all done and wrapping up here. And of course, as we talk about the terrible events in Minnesota that happened over the weekend, I feel duty bound to note that today is the 10th anniversary since Donald Trump rode down that escalator in his personal temple to himself and declared that he was going to be a candidate for president. And convinced many of our neighbors basically to normalize everything that's wrong with allowing the incompetent and the insensitive to run our government and control our media. And the violence that he has espoused and the violent rhetoric that he has spread has claimed lives this weekend. And I'm listening to everybody who might be screaming, both sides, both sides. Obviously, nobody has a 100% corner on the market, but we know what's happening right now in the here and now. We know enough about the suspect and his ties, his religious and political extremism. And so it is sadly not a surprise that somebody in his position essentially snapped and decided to go on a murderous spree. And I mean, if I had a question of the day, it would be along those lines, because we've been so busy vilifying immigrants and vilifying other minorities. And my question for you today is, when are we finally going to do something about the real domestic terrorism out there? That is, by and large, white guys shooting up places. When you look at the mass shootings that we've had, when you look at, you know, what get described as, you know, what's the acronym? It's for right-wing nut jobs. You know, the term is out there. And it continues to happen. And we continue to have politicians who turn a blind eye and say, well, this is all about freedom. Well, this puts the dumb in freedom. If their definition of freedom is that our gun laws are so loose that we can just now have political murders to go along with our mass shootings in this country. And why are we accepting that? Because we really shouldn't. We'll talk a bit more about this as the day goes on as well. And, of course, we mentioned the No Kings protest. We didn't mention Donald Trump's little military parade. And let's be clear, this is nothing anti-military. The Army is 250 years old, deserved a good birthday party, did not deserve to be essentially hijacked for a vanity project by a president with a little Napoleon complex. And frankly, that was reflected in the events. I thought maybe a whole lot of people would go to Washington, D.C. to protest the military parade and that things might get troublesome. But I think enough people realized that's exactly what Donald Trump would have wanted. He wants confrontation. Look at what he's doing in Los Angeles. And instead, people stayed away. I mean, lots of people stayed away. The crowd was embarrassingly small. And the parade itself was not exactly on line with what you would see in North Korea or the old Soviet Union. And that's fine by me. I don't know how the military planned the parades, how the units would look and everything. That, again, was not important to me. The important part was to honor the service of the Army and of all the armed forces and those who have served our country that way, rather than through something to try to appease one man. And the folks that stayed away and instead took part in No Kings protests around the country, you did my heart a lot of good. So again, coming up, Kristen Lierley, Selena Heller, Jeff Mandel, Jimmy Costco with sports, John and Gordy, Laura Bird, Jane Matner, all from the heart of America's up north, really way up north, live from the Saskatchewan prairies. Thanks for making this the place to spend a part of your Monday mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
This fall, build your perfect Wisconsin football game day with a mini pack. Pick any three games, including Big Ten matchups like Washington, Iowa, and Ohio State, and save while cheering on the Badgers. Big matchups, big moments, and it's all on your schedule. Football mini packs are available now. Create your custom game day experience today at uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. First touchdown to the fifth quarter. There's always something to enjoy. Football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Tarrant County, Texas County Commissioners approved a new county redistricting map June 3rd, diluting the votes of Black and Hispanic voters. But commissioners claim the gerrymandering was for political, not racial reasons. The map likely eliminates a majority-minority district and has drawn widespread condemnation and a Voting Rights Act lawsuit. County Commissioners and Senior County Official Judge Tim O'Hare brought in the Conservative Public Interest Legal Foundation and the National Republican Redistricting Trust to draw the map, according to reporting by Democracy Docket. Their efforts apparently manipulated the districts to gain another GOP County Commission seat and a 4-to-1 advantage. Analysis by the UCLA Voting Rights Project and Southern Methodist University found the approved map packed District 2 Black and Hispanic voters into District 1, reducing the chance a Black or Hispanic candidate would be elected in District 2. Because the county staggers election cycles for different districts, it also disenfranchised as many as 150,000 voters, heavily Black and Hispanic, who can't vote in their current district's 2026 election and must wait until 2028. Voters sued under the VRA and the 14th and 15th Amendments. The commissioners claimed that they gerrymandered for political advantage, to which the Supreme Court turns a blind eye, and not racial discrimination. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Spending our Monday mornings here on the prairies of Saskatchewan, part of the prairie provinces of Alberta and Saskatchewan and Manitoba. I'm Pat Kreitlow, way up north on this Monday morning, thanks to airline troubles, and hopefully can get back home a little bit later today. But here's the thing that they do have in Regina. They have a Best Buy. So when I needed to get a microphone real quick, they were able to provide this headset one here, which apparently is all for video gaming. I've never done this, Parker. Video gaming for me was Pong. Okay. And now you've got these very sophisticated things with the headsets and the microphones and everything like that. So I guess I'm good to go if I want to become a gamer now. I'm now properly equipped.
What kind of games are you going to be playing, Pat?
Does Pong come in a newer version? Probably not. And if it does, it's probably got 28 levels and violence and everything else. So, well, you know,
there could be, maybe there will be color.
Well, that would be a change. Yes, absolutely. So, well, I don't know. So I've got the gear. So we'll just carry on talking about the news and the sports of the day, which includes, of course, telling you that Up North News has a daily newsletter, now has one 7 days a week, including a politics one that comes out on Sundays, a sports one on Saturdays. And you can head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe, and get a hold of these newsletters. And in each one, we ask a question of the week. This week, it was, should Governor Evers run for a third term? Now, There are a couple of different answers to that. There's certainly those who say, yes, by all means, he's the one who can win. He's got a good record to run on. Whatever the Republicans run against him, he's going to look much more moderate and, shall I say, normal. Others will say he should retire because he maybe can't win, that he's earned a retirement. You know, they're fans of Governor Evers, much like Dan Schaefer's column last week, and saying, but it's time to pass the torch. And then, of course, there are those who are not fans of Governor Evers who would also like him to step aside. So we've already received a big bunch of answers on that. And I will look forward to sharing those with you, you know, throughout the course of the coming days here. And let's see, I actually have a few of them here in front of me. Here's one from Justin, who says, Evers should retire and not endorse a successor. Let's have a robust primary. Kind of shades of the presidential election last year. Carolyn, with a K, just gives four thumbs up as an endorsement of Tony running for a third term. Martha writes, until there is a more balanced state legislative body, we should keep Governor Evers and his creative workarounds around. Now is not the time for inexperience, she writes. Chuck writes, Tony has done a great job as Wisconsin's governor, but I'm not pushing him to run again. He's 73 years old. It might be time to retire. He deserves a relaxing retirement on a Wisconsin lake enjoying his grandchildren. And if Tony runs out of money, he can do Quick Trip commercials. Well, there you go. Somebody is as uniquely Wisconsin as Tony Evers, if he wanted to retire and do commercials for Quick Trip or Culver's or for whatever, yes. And Alicia's right, putting up on YouTube here just now, I can see the pros and cons of both scenarios, which is what I said last week in putting up Dan Schaefer's column and starting the discussion. Now, there are some who say that even starting the discussion is giving a gift to Republicans and allowing them to beat the drum that Governor Evers should retire. I would contend that was going to happen anyway. Governor Evers is going to announce in the coming weeks what he's going to do. And if he decides to run for a third term, that will be a topic no matter what, just as it would have been for, it was for President Biden before that debate performance back in June. We'll just have to see how the governor decides this. Tony writes, 33 votes on an Instagram post about it on Civic Media. Basically, 3 out of 4 say, run, Tony, run. And 1/4 of them say not to run. So again, we don't have the scientific polling. We have the soapbox. So tell us what you think of that and so many other issues by heading over to any of the places, including Up North News, where you can sign up for our Sunday newsletter and weigh in that way, or here on the comment section of this show and tell us what you're thinking. The governor did speak at the Democratic State Convention in Wisconsin Dells over the weekend, did not tip his hand one way or the other on whether he would run for a third term. The business of the day for Democrats was picking a new state party chair. And if you haven't heard, Devin Remicker is the new state Democratic Party chair. The former executive director of the state party had been endorsed by Ben Wickler and received a near majority of the votes on the first ballot. And this was the first time that they used ranked choice voting. And in ranked choice voting, Joseph Pecky came in second, William Garcia third. And so William Garcia's votes were reallocated based on the second choice of Garcia voters. I don't know. I'm going to assume most, if not all, of Garcia's voters did have a second choice that they listed. And enough of them were Devin Remicker to put him over the top and give him a majority of the votes. And so he will be the new state chair. But again, William Garcia and Joseph Pecky were right there on stage providing a united front for the party. And again, both of those gentlemen are just world-class professionals and will continue to keep the party unified. They put up good reasons why any of them would have been a good party chair heading into a year where Democrats hope to take control of the legislature, at least one, if not both bodies, and hold on to the governor's office and maybe even pick off a congressional seat or two. So I appreciated that united front from all of the gentlemen who decided to run, because there's work to be done against people like Congressman Derek Van Orden, who again was spreading rampant disinformation and misinterpreting people's comments and basically just acting like, you know, an entitled dork, to put it mildly, because stronger words will better describe what Derek Van Orden does with incidents like what happened over the weekend in Minnesota. But let's not give him any more attention than he deserves, except to say that we deserve better. Hope to talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly. We'll see how things are going for her over the weekend and check in next. I'm Pat Kreitlow from somewhere up on the Canadian prairies and really up north.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Tariffs and global tensions are creating challenges for U.S. dairy to find new markets. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. I talked about it with Krista Harden. She is the CEO and president of the U.S. Dairy Export Council. Their charge, trying to find new markets for U.S. dairy around the world, regardless of trade policies.
And that group started looking at homes for other products. And it was only about 5% in those days of what we were producing that needed to find a home. Now it's getting closer to somewhere 18, almost getting closer to 20% of high value, wonderful products that are produced by our dairy farmers across the country that need a home outside of our borders. We're already in, Pam. I think your listeners know this, and about 96% of households in the U.S.
Krista Harden, she's the CEO and president of the U.S. Dairy Export Council, talking with me on Friday. She says, despite that high usage rate of U.S. consumers and dairy, it's not enough to offset the tremendous production that U.S. dairy has. That's why they continue to forge those international relationships. You'll be able to find more with my conversation and Krista Harden on MidwestFarmReport.com. We'll get to the markets next.
Hey, gut yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest, highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers. The Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVits Bovine Goldlight to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Goldlight keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Goldlight at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
On Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese was down a penny and a half, 183 and a half. 40-pound block cheese dropped a quarter to 183 and three quarters, while AA butter gained 2.5 cents to finish the week, 257 a pound. This morning, July corn's down 2, December new crop down 3 at 440. July soybeans are up 3, November new crop up a nickel at 1059. July wheat 7.5 cents lower currently, 536. July class 3 milk that goes into cheese right now down 2 at 1811 a hundredweight. There's your snapshot on where the markets stand on a Monday morning. I'm Farm Director PM Yankee.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly to mostly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms, especially later this afternoon. Our high today in the low 80s. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely. Could be some locally heavy rain. Our low in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, chance of thunderstorms with a high upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right? You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
front seat. Just this one time. Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will recap all the news from over the weekend and wrap it up with audio sorbet and This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
What's that song that Kristen Lyerly taught me? Nothing could be finer than be stranded in Regina in the morning. Yeah, that works.
That's not exactly how I said it, but...
I know. I had to clean it up a bit for you. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us now. She is normally on Monday mornings when she's working. She is our true up north correspondent up in northern Minnesota. I got you beat this time by a couple
well,
hundred miles.
You special take off, eh?
Yeah, take off, hoser. no Bob and Doug McKenzie sightings here. Although I do want to tell you about one of the natural features of Saskatchewan. As we were driving around town to do a couple of things with our friends over the weekend, they pointed out this area about the size of a baseball field or a large, you know, parking lot with a lot of, you know, big brown mounds on there. And our friend James said, guess what those are? And I, you know, we're like wood chips. Is it compost? Is it whatever? It's like, no, those are still all the snow piles from plowing the streets of Regina. There's still all these piles about 8 to 10 feet high. And of course, it's all dirty snow, but still out there on this June 16th, melting away up here on the prairie. So.
It's all different. There's so much snow. What I've noticed up here in Hibbing, Minnesota, is that they plow the snow into the middle of the street, and then they come back with a dump truck and a front loader, and they take it away that way because there's just so much snow that you can't just push it off to the side. So if we think we're way up north in Wisconsin, yeah, there's a whole different level.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. Were you busy this weekend, birth and babies?
Yeah. Okay. Can I tell you just one of the coolest stories? So,
well, of course.
We had this delightful birth yesterday, and the dad had the most wonderful playlist. People will often bring, like, they'll queue up playlists for their birth experience. And he had all the classics, like, you know, Push It by Salt and Peppa, and, like, Be My Baby by the Ronettes. Every song had something to do with babies. But when she was, like, just ready to deliver, he said, hand me my phone. And all of a sudden we heard... Savenia, la, 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 na, na. No kidding. No, like the baby was born as the Circle of Life was playing. We were all like crying. It was great.
That's something. It's like your first dad joke as you become a dad is to pull that one.
He was so proud of himself. He'd been planning it for months.
Well, I'm glad it worked. Jeez. So Kristen Lyerly joins us from way down south, as far as I see it, from up here in Saskatchewan, where, again, we're making light of today's situation, and there is no good way to transition into, you know, what happened over the weekend, especially since, I mean, you were one of the first people I thought of after the killings of the lawmaker and her husband and the shootings of another lawmaker and his wife. And I had a sense that you might, you know them or had met them. And so I reached out to you right away and, you know, wanted to know your thoughts on Representative Hortman there. And I mean, just I guess I just want to give you free rein to talk a bit about what happened to Melissa Hortman and to State Senator John Hoffman. Melissa Hortman was a former, for 6 years, was Speaker of the Minnesota House of Representatives, was still the Democratic leader, and was doing a stellar job putting Minnesota on a good political track before all of this happened.
Melissa Hartman was a brilliant leader. So many of the gains that we've seen in Minnesota, the progressive gains, were the brainchild of Melissa Hartman and the work of Melissa Hartman. And it was hard work. And one of the themes that we kept seeing over and over this weekend was that she voted, it was a controversial vote. She and her colleague voted against immigrants, Minnesota giving immigrants health care. And that was a hard vote for her to take, but it was what she needed to do in order to get this giant omnibus budget bill across the line.
Let me make that point for folks, because we've said here in Wisconsin that if a state budget bill doesn't pass, government doesn't shut down. You just continue things at the old budget spending level. Minnesota's different. They will shut down state government if they don't pass a budget bill. And the House of Representatives there is tied 67-67. So in a power sharing agreement, Melissa Hartman stepped down. A Republican is currently serving as Speaker. And again, there was a need to pass this budget, and Republicans would not pass. They were prepared to shut down government services for all unless the provision included denying Medicaid to undocumented immigrants. And that was a vote that Melissa had to take. And so you can pick up the story from there.
Yeah, it was a grueling vote. I mean, you could see there's video all over the internet about she's tearful talking about it. And it was it was so disgusting. Pat, I'm sure you saw some of the misinformation that was out there, that this was the motive for someone from the far left to assassinate these leaders.
It would be one thing if it was just your common internet troll. But unfortunately, the common internet trolls today include former Governor Scott Walker and current Congressman Derek Van Orden, who passed these things along and then had all kinds of unhinged things to say about, you know, the far left. And Scott Walker at least had the decency, if that's the right word, to delete his post when it turned out not to be the case. Last I checked, Derek Van Orden is still up there along with a whole assortment of other folks who want you to see anything other than what this gunman really was about, what his past was, his speaking, the comments that he made to, or the text that he sent to friends before, you know, doing this heinous thing. And it's just infuriating, the stuff that, you know, like a Republican U.S. Senator from Utah was posting about this. We want to say be better, but we can't even find that in some of our leaders these days.
Oh, not even close, and not for a long time. I mean, I guess it's not that surprising to see this. It's just really disgusting. And another piece of information that was twisted was that the assailant was appointed to a governor's task force in Minnesota by Governor Walz back in 2019. It was actually a second appointment to a non-political body in the state. But that too was used as evidence that this was an inside job from the far left. Really disappointing stuff. Of course, that was, again, a non-political body. This was not a political appointment. Governor Walz did not know this man. This evidence is coming out now that is substantiated that this man was a Donald Trump voter. He is an evangelical Christian who appears to be in financial trouble. And there are numerous other pieces of information that we're starting to figure out as they're unpacking this case and having captured the assailant yesterday in rural southwestern Minnesota.
Yes, near an area where he has another residence. So folks, we're looking there in one of the, if not the largest manhunt in Minnesota history.
By far.
And you know, obviously people were thinking of you because this guy had notebooks. They're now backing off saying a manifesto, but certainly a lot of notes and lists of names that included all kinds of folks, you know, including doctors, including legislators, including people from Wisconsin. And, you know, until this guy was caught, there was a lot of angst out there about what else this guy might be able to do.
Oh, I'm sure there still is. I mean, there's concern about copycat crimes. We know that there were 11 Wisconsin elected leaders on the list, so the legislature was informed. There was extra security at the convention over the weekend. And a number of abortion providers and clinics were also on this list. And it wasn't like a concise list. It was kind of a scattershot of thoughts and not an organized manifesto. So it's been a little confusing to interpret. But I can tell you that my colleagues in Minnesota who are OBGYN doctors, they are outspoken leaders. Many of them are abortion providers, leaders at Planned Parenthood. It's been a very tense weekend for my colleagues and myself.
And then there was, of course, this call by public safety officials to maybe not go to the protests on Saturday because of concerns for their safety. And in Minnesota, what that meant was on the Capitol grounds, on the state Capitol grounds, more than 80,000 people said, no, we are not letting this one nut get in the way of us making a statement about what kind of government we want and how we should all be able to come together peacefully. And that's what tens of thousands of people did there, and people all across Wisconsin and all over the country.
Yeah, up in Chisholm, Minnesota, we had 500 people, and the town only has 3,000, so that was pretty great. Yeah, I was surprised, though. I was in Minneapolis when the Twins won the World Series in 87, and I remember people, as we were flooding toward the Metrodome, stopping and obeying walk signals. So I really thought that the numbers would be low. But no, it was an incredible turnout. There were beautiful things happening. There were food drives and communities coming together, volunteer booths. It was about bringing people together and uplifting each other. It was not about anger and violence. And that getting that many people together and having it be as positive and hopeful as it was a truly beautiful thing.
It really was. And for again, for those folks who wanted to make it seem like it was some kind of, you know, budding insurrection or something, I would again first, A, January 6th, that was an insurrection. Mm-hmm. That's what that kind of a demonstration looks like. But that, no, it was the more the point was, we're not looking to overthrow the government today or ever. We have elections for that. We're looking to make the point that here in this country, we have the right to protest. And so many people feel alone. So many people feel like, well, too much of the country has accepted this normalization of violence and, you know, rhetoric and division. And it was great that people came together and said, no, not this. We're better than this. And we will act at the right point to get a better day. And the kind of leaders that espouse American values and not whatever this is that we have to deal with right now.
Hey, and the conversations, bringing people together. I mean, Kristen Bry in Milwaukee had a great video of taking her mom to her first protest, and her mom is singing songs from Les Mis in the car, and she's so excited and fired up. This is what we need, is to bring people together and have these conversations. I was in a meeting, just to pivot a little bit, with Senator Elizabeth Warren last week about the Big Beautiful Bill and how many people know about the Big Beautiful Bill. We talk about it all the time, but in fact, 1 in 4 people know, 3 in 4 people have no idea what this means. All they're hearing is that top line messaging. If anything, they have no idea what the implications are. They have no idea that the hospital I work at in northern Minnesota will likely close if this Big Beautiful Bill passes, as will the hospital in Manitowoc, Wisconsin, and 38 hospitals in Louisiana. And that's one little piece of it. So it is incumbent upon us to have these conversations with each other, not in a hostile way, not with all of these ugly misinformation talking points, but in a genuine way about our values and the things that we deeply care about.
And we've certainly seen that as the, you know, the big bloated boondoggle continues to work its way through the U.S. Senate, is more and more people becoming aware, saying, this is not what I voted for. This is not what I expected as a Trump voter. They expected a more, shall we say, business-like approach toward identifying, you know, waste and fraud and things like that, and instead are getting something that they understand is going to hurt them, going to hurt their family, going to hurt the economy, going to hurt people. And as we'll hear from Selena Heller, you know, in the story about the Chippewa Valley rally, there were plenty of people that were happy to see that there are Republicans in there. In that crowd, who said, we can do better than this. And yes. So Selena Heller will tell us much more about that coming up. She's going to join us for today's history lesson. Then after the 7 o'clock news, we'll get into that a bit more. We'll then talk to Jeff Mandel from Law Forward about the suit that he and others are bringing to end billionaire bribery in our Supreme Court elections. Author Laura Bird still ahead as well on this Monday morning from northern Minnesota, from the prairies of Saskatchewan, and from Wisconsin, of course, here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Back in a bit.
as Wisconsin has brats on the grill for a tailgate. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uline. In 2018 alone, the Ulines received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Warm weather is finally here, and so is wildfire smoke from Canada. Forecasters say we can expect air quality warnings to come and go and come again with no end in sight as fires blaze out of control across central and western Canada. Environmental advocates say the hazardous smoke blanketing our state just when we want to head outdoors shows no community is safe from the impacts of climate change and should be a wake-up call for policymakers. The EPA is pushing to end its popular Energy Star program that has helped families identify energy-efficient appliances and home energy upgrades for more than 30 years. A group of U.S. senators, including Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, is calling on the EPA to keep the popular program, saying for every dollar spent on Energy Star, Americans get $350 in savings. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sports.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the Big Brutal Bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
We're going to start today's history lesson with the OJs and Edward LeVert, who is 83 years old today, kicking off today's history lesson. The OJs with Used to Be My Girl. Of course, they gave us Love Train and Backstabbers and For the Love of Money. You know that one? Money, 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 money. Anyway, and wow. I Love Music and some others. Yeah, exactly.
You hit that note.
I did not expect that out of you, Pat.
Anyway, and Selena Heller joins us as well, Up North News reporter, and has a prop with her, a fur ball that is finally welcome, because let me jump ahead to the National Day calendar. Today
is
National Take Your Cat to Work Day.
Hey!
Congratulations, Whiskers. You're finally welcomed here. It's so great to see you for a day. Look at that look of his, like, yep, I'm the king. It's good to be the king. You
know? I'm here today and every day.
Yep, exactly. Tupac Shakur was born this day in 1971, born Lassane Parrish Crooks, before passing away in 1996. Also on the birthday list today, professional golfer Phil Mickelson is 55 years old today. Let's hear a little bit from David Bowie, who released his fifth studio album this day in 1972. This, of course, would be Suffragette City from The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and The Spiders from Mars on many people's lists as among the best albums of all time. It was on this day in 1978 that Grease, starring John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John, opened up in theaters. I didn't queue up a song for this one because I knew Kristen Lyerly would give us something without even prompting.
We go together like rumble-lumble-lumble. Everybody, remember forever that shoo-wop, shoo-wada-wada, zippity-boom-dee-boom.
See, we still have to pay license fees for this. the number one album this day in 1979 was Donna Summer's seventh studio album, Bad Girls. You want to take some of the licensing rights for that one too, Kristen?
Sure. Selena, you with me?
You start. I don't know.
Bad Girls, right? Talking about the bad girls. Beep, beep. Am I right?
Toot, toot, beep, beep. Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
On this day in 1980, the Blues Brothers movie premiered in Chicago and gave a nice boost to Aretha Franklin, James Brown, and Ray Charles, folks like that. And then in 1990, the number one hit was by Roxette. And I know, you're like, wait, you could have played something from Grease or the Blues Brothers or Donna Summer, and you went with Roxette? Again, I knew Kristen would fill the void perfectly for us. So.
That's a little high, then it's a little high for me this morning.
Yeah. As noted at the top of the show, it's an unfortunate anniversary that it was 10 years ago today, 2015, that Donald Trump rode down an escalator and announced his campaign to run for president. Forgive us, Lord, for whatever we did to deserve that. Because it was ridiculed at the time, and rightly so, by a whole lot of Republicans who said, we're never voting for that guy.
Well, and was it real? I mean, did he really intend to be the president, or was it a press stunt? At the time, it was a press stunt.
It was. And suddenly he realized he had tapped into something with, you know, all kinds of grievances and perceived victimhood. And again, that's not who Donald Trump was. Donald Trump was a New York liberal for a big chunk of his life until it was convenient for him as a businessman to make some money going into politics. And he's normalized all of this arm sweeping gesture around us ever since. And it all started 10 years ago today. Mm. Along with Take Your Cat to Work Day, this is Clean Your Kitchen Vents Day. Who comes up with these?
No, thank you.
Kitchen vents.
Clean your kitchen vents. I mean, especially if you've got a cat. I mean, there's fur everywhere. This is International Waterfall Day. I should have had something prepped about the ways you can see all these waterfalls around northern Wisconsin and upper Michigan and northern Minnesota. There's all kinds of great waterfall trips that mm-hmm. you can go on here. It's World Sea Turtle Day, which is something we talked about here. We're visiting friends in Canada, but these are friends that we actually met and made when we lived down in Grand Cayman. And down there on a couple of the beaches, if you're out swimming in the ocean, you will still see some sea turtles, and you can swim along with the sea turtles and, you know, don't touch them, but they don't mind. They're just going around doing their thing. This is Learning Disabilities Week. This is a National Fudge Day. So head over to, what's that candy shop down the road? Kilwin's, is it? Down on State Street and then up in Minocqua and elsewhere. Go get yourself some nice fresh fudge. And finally, this is National Diabetes Week.
So, they go together.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, so.
You're welcome.
Kristen could probably tell you something about, again, taking care of yourself, monitoring your meds or your blood sugars.
Fudge in moderation.
Fudge in moderation.
Perfect. I ate so much fudge. I worked at a candy shop.
When did you work at a candy shop?
Oh, gosh, in college. Oh. So, yeah, I made fudge, a candy store. Oh, my, I ate so much fudge.
That sounds awesome. That sounds so good.
Yeah. Park right now is like all kinds, tummy all grumbling.
Uh-huh. Mint and, oh, my gosh, any kind you could imagine.
Did they serve tapeworms as well, that you're still basically a size zero after all these years? What?
Well, we had ice cream, jelly bellies, all sorts of things, and I ate so much.
Oh, there's so many people jealous right now. But all right, glad it worked out for you. Hang around. You're going to tell us about one of the organizers of the Chippewa Valley No Kings rally that was held over the weekend. And Dr. Lyerly sticks around as well. Parker Olson is with us from Madison. We're going to have Jeffrey Mandel from Law Forward in at 7:30, author Laura Bird at 8:30. Now, that and much more on this Monday morning, where I'm live from Saskatchewan, stranded, hoping to get home soon, here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Police have captured a suspect in the targeted shootings of two Democratic lawmakers and their spouses in Minnesota. Governor Tim Walz.
After a two-day manhunt, two sleepless nights, law enforcement have apprehended Vance Bolter.
Melissa Hortman and her husband were killed, another legislator and his wife wounded. Israel and Iran have attacked each other for the fourth night in a row. At least five Israelis were killed. CBS's Deborah Pata is in Tel Aviv.
Buildings have been destroyed. Windows blown out, some reduced to rubble. Shops also have been demolished. It's been a rough night.
At least five people killed in flash flooding in West Virginia. Crews are using drones and search dogs to try to locate three still missing. Ohio County Emergency Management's Lou Vargo.
There were roughly 3 to 4 inches of water that fell in the area in less than an hour. That's very, very difficult to deal with.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah.